Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. We are Payne and Pendergast. I'm Pendergast. He is Payne. And Seth, last night was one of those nights. Astros scored two in the first. They're up 2-0. Jose Urquidy is just cruising. While Amy and I are out to dinner, we get home in like the sixth or seventh inning. I said, this will be nice. Jose Urquidy hands it over to the bullpen. They come away with a nice win. And then the whole thing unravels in the eighth, and we're going to dissect and do the autopsy on all that in just a minute. But then it's one of those things. Not only do they lose, but I got to stay up and hear what Dusty has to say. And then he says things, and I get angry, and then I'm not going, and then I can't fall asleep, and now I'm sleep-deprived. It unraveled, in Dusty's words, it unraveled quick, and not just for the Astros. It unraveled quick for all of us. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm in this uncomfortable position, Sean, where I know that half the people listening right now are upset over some questionable decisions and really even more questionable explanations for the decisions by Dusty Baker. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I know the other half will tell me, hey, you ingrate. Look, they're leading the AL, don't you know? You should be happy with everything in life because apparently all it takes is leading the AL to win the World Series.
Right.
And that being the 15th best offense in the league is apparently enough to do that. As long as you got the wins, that's what half the people want to say.
Yeah.
I love seeing Dubon lead off as much as the next guy.
What the hell?
But sometimes maybe instead of having Dubon lead off just because he's replacing that guy in the lineup, maybe you give somebody else a chance to get more at bats. Dubon had more at-bats than Yordan, than Kyle Tucker, than pretty much anybody that has a better OPS than him.
Yeah, does Dusty know that just because somebody is replacing another guy, they don't have to take their spot in the lineup? You know, like in the in-game, they have to. If you pinch hit for somebody, you have to take that spot in the lineup. But if you're changing the lineup around the day of, or in this case, just before, because Jeremy Peña has neck stiffness,
yeah,
it doesn't mean that you can't shuffle. Like Dubon doesn't have to bat first. He did that earlier in the season when Aledmys Diaz wasn't hitting. He did that earlier in the season when Diaz would get inserted for Bregman, and you've got Aledmys Diaz batting cleanup all of it, like janky Aledmys Diaz, not the one that's come around here in the month of July and August. Like, and by the way, the Dubon batting leadoff thing is not the worst decision Dusty made last night. We'll get into that in just a second here.
You know, so Urquidy was dealing.
Yeah.
He entered the eighth inning. Yeah. And basically gave up a dribbler about, 15 feet down the third baseline.
Yeah, Bregman tried to barehand it, and he couldn't barehand it.
Yeah.
It one of those.
I'm always I'm always electrified when Bregman does the bare hand, but then whenever it doesn't work out, I turn into Joe Old School.
Yeah,
like hey,
two
just
hands.
Put your glove on the ball.
Two hands, Bregman.
Yeah, get down, squat down in front of it properly,
yeah.
Bregman.
Yes.
Plant up and then throw to first.
Right.
Yeah. So he takes Urquidy out after 94 pitches. Urquidy has pitched more than 94 pitches in a game over a dozen times this year. It's not like he was stretched out or anything to the point where you had to worry about him. And he puts in Montero. The weird thing about Montero, who ended up having a miserable time of it out there.
He didn't get anybody out. For those just waking up, Montero came in. The Astros are up 2-0. Urquidy gives up a dribbler two outs into the eighth inning. And guy on first, Dusty comes out and takes him out after 7 2/3 inning. Puts in Montero, and Montero gives up five straight base runners.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's 4-2.
Afterwards, Dusty said that Montero was the freshest guy they had available, and I'm thinking I'd take my crazy pills again, you know, because didn't Montero just have a rough outing like 24 hours prior? And yes, of course he had.
He pitched on Sunday.
And then Stanek had not pitched on Sunday. So I don't know if maybe Stanek's injured or something, but that explanation left people wanting. They're doing fine, everybody. I get it. I understand. It's just that sometimes, especially since the COVID bout, I want to give Dusty the benefit of the doubt because he's coming off of COVID. It's just that it's not like the explanations were always that cogent or made that much sense before COVID. It does seem like since from the first press conference he had since he got back from the COVID list, or I guess there's no COVID list, since he had COVID, it feels like it's been extra dicey with some of the rationale. So maybe this settles down over as he recovers from it.
Yeah, we'll see. But Dusty was taking some heat last night from a lot of folks that were watching this game. Really questionable decision, Seth, as you just pointed out. Urquidy had given up some hard contact in that eighth inning. So if that's the case, then if hard contact is the issue, then take him out after the hard contact. You don't take him out after he gives up a dribbler down the third baseline. Like that made no sense. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, sometimes old school managers like Dusty, you're up 2-0 in that game. Sometimes old school managers say, look, we don't want to leave this guy in to take the loss. He's had such a good outing, and even though wins and losses on the, you know, the back of your baseball card don't mean as much as they used to, Dusty's 73 years old. He comes from an era where those things mattered. So sometimes old school managers will say, well, we don't want him to be on the mound when the lead run comes to the plate, because, you know, if he gives up a bomb, then he loses a game, and boy, he's been out here pitching a gem all night long. He puts one guy on base, you're still up 2-0. Like, when Montero came in, the tying run was at the plate, not on base. So there was no good explanation. In my mind, the pitch count was still somewhere where Urquidy was able to be managed. It was 94 pitches, as you point out. The last hitter that he had was a dribbler down the third baseline. It wasn't hard contact. And you didn't have the lead run at the plate. You know, there's no old school rationale. Other than Dusty says, Montero has pitched well against Vaughn, who was the next guy up. They took Urquidy out right before Vaughn came up, and Montero has struck out Vaughn the last two or three times he's faced him, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. I mean,
he's faced him three times.
Yeah. I mean, right. Like right.
Well, and Urquidy's been very good against Vaughn as well. So
yeah, that night he'd been good against Vaughn. Yeah.
that's a more recent. They both had small sample sizes, except that Urquidy's have been from that very night.
Yeah.
I get the sense that people are like, all right, well, Dusty's gone after this year, but God, what if they win the World Series? What are we going to do then?
I thought about that last night. The conversation just gets a little more difficult with Dusty if they win the World Series. Like, okay, we need to make this look like you're walking off into the sunset. And actually, I could see that. Like, if Dusty wins the World Series, like, that would be a great story, right? He walks off into the sunset on top. Give him a check for next season and let him walk.
I think there's the whole thing about managers in baseball are kind of like running backs in football right now, where people have all kinds of fancy reasoning for why they don't actually matter all that much until they very clearly do. Like, when you all of a sudden have a running back who's awesome or who does all the right things at the very best moments, then you say, oh, okay, maybe I wouldn't draft one in the top three picks, but I see
yes.
the value of a running back.
Yes.
Likewise, or if you have a David Johnson or somebody, then you realize, wow, running backs maybe are more valuable than I was giving them credit for.
Yeah.
I feel like Dusty is at his David Johnson moment right now.
I looked at some of the Chicago reaction last night to that win, because that was a big win for them. Yeah. I mean, they're the defending AL Central champs. They're having a disappointing season based on what their expectations were coming into the year. They expected to build on last year's playoff appearance, and right now they're third place. They're still in the mix. They're two games back in the division. It's a dogfight between them and the Twins and the Guardians, at the top of the division. Leila Rahimi, our friend who used to work at CSN Houston, who's on TV and radio up in Chicago now, she tweeted last night, best win of the season, not close. And as we all know, it has to be replicated. But enjoy the party because that's how it should feel this year. So who knows? Maybe Dusty woke a sleeping giant in the Chicago White Sox last night by taking out
Arcidi. Okay. Now I'm back in Dusty's corner. What do you think? I'm scared? Scared of the White Sox? I don't think so, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
One little bad partial inning by Montero. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we have to worry about.
This was just the elixir they needed to get their season back on track.
Tell me this. Chandler Rome is the beat writer for the Chronicle, and we've watched it kind of slowly get more and more tense as the season has gone along. There was a paragraph towards the end of his write up on this where I thought, is this an opinion column, or is this an actual synopsis of the game? He said Dubon got 5 plate appearances on Monday, one fewer than each of Bregman, Yordan, yeah, Alvarez, and Kyle Tucker. In no world should that ever occur.
Yeah. You go, Chandler Rome. I don't care that you're just supposed to report the news. You're the voice of the voiceless right now.
In no world should that ever occur.
I like it. He's
a
right.
Bit beyond just the facts.
He's right. Well, Rome v. Baker at WrestleMania is still on the table, I would say.
I wonder, it's like Dusty starts writing the lineup and then forgets that whiteout is a thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to start over.
Mix in an eraser. Yeah, exactly.
I've been working in the Rose Garden all weekend. I can't write another lineup.
It's unbelievable. All right. We're off and running on a Tuesday. Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. People already weighing in on the text page about Dusty. We'll get to some of those. Texans made a couple cuts yesterday. It's another team, though, that cut a former Texan. They got a lot of attention yesterday afternoon. We'll talk about that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Texans cut Jordan Jenkins and Chad Beebe. There was one other cut in the NFL that we'll get to in just a second. That happened yesterday. Today, 3 o'clock is the deadline for teams to get down to 85. The Texans waived a couple other players, fringe players. I don't have the names in front of me here.
It's crazy. It's crazy how quickly this all came. This lack of preseason games is messing up my whole schedule with this. Usually you get a set of cuts after the second preseason game.
Yep.
But obviously now they decided to work from the back to the front instead of front to the back.
They're staging the cuts now. Soon they'll have a TV show, The Cut from 90 to 85.
They'll have guys come out,
dude,
and they'll be handed either a rose or a black
rose.
You think
I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? Yeah. Chad Beebe, Jordan Jenkins waived. Harrison Elliott, the other long snapper, beat it, dude. This is Weeks country. He's gone. Yeah. And B.J. Emmons, the running back who they signed right before the Saints game, must not have made a favorable first impression. He's gone now, too.
We were out at that little simulated game that they did last Friday night.
Yeah.
And it was just a few media members in NRG Stadium watching. But we were sitting right in front of John Weeks and that other stooge, that imposter long snapper. And we gave him the evil eye.
We did.
We kept giving the, you know, we were giving this guy the evil eye, trying to put the hex on him.
And it worked.
And I think it worked out.
It worked. He's gone.
I think he skidded. He probably skipped one to the punter. We didn't even realize
he's gone. Real quick, we'll just to pay off here. Lonnie Johnson was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday.
Oh, but he—that's too bad because he was gushing about how awesome it was up there and how things were run the right way,
dude.
Because Lonnie is one thing you always have to be careful about when you're part of a place that's trying to revamp the culture and you get purged. There's a good chance that you might have actually been part of the problem of the culture.
Man.
So don't gush about how awesome the culture is up in the new place. And when people discover, oh, wow, this guy doesn't like to be coached all that much. Huh?
Dude, Lonnie Johnson, I understand last season was weird in a lot of ways. I get it. We pointed that out many times. This season feels a lot more normal. This training camp feels a lot more normal. The vibe feels a lot more positive. So we get through last year, and now you build a roster and you see where this thing goes. Guys like Lonnie Johnson getting cut or traded, I guess, in this case, from the Texans to the Chiefs for a 7th-round pick like 2 years from now, he didn't even make it past the cut down to 85. And yeah, Seth, I went back and I looked. I'm like, okay, because my sons texted me that news. My sons texted, and one of them said, like, this is funny because Lonnie was tweeting like he was going to be a starter for the Chiefs. And he kind of was like, hey, Kansas City, I need a good real estate agent. Like, when I hope to God he rented and didn't buy in Kansas City. He's looking for realtors on Twitter the day of the trade. 3 days into being there at minicamp, he tweets out, vibes different. Like, okay, dude. Yeah, like, yeah, you're Lonnie Johnson. Beat it. Go. And Kansas City just told you to beat it before the cut to 80. You couldn't even make it to 85 guys on a roster.
It's a shame because I think Lonnie could be really, really good. I think that he doesn't always take in the advice and the coaching that he gets and take it to heart. And you know, frankly, there's just – he's at that age where he's got to either figure it out or that'll be it for him.
Yep.
You know, no matter how talented you are, if you just can't figure it out and have some level of accountability – then that'll be, and it's just, it really is a shame. Like, he is freakishly talented. He's a little tough to figure sometimes because he's so big. So he's too big to play cornerback, except maybe in specific schemes where he'd have to be very, very, very technique sound if he were to be a cornerback at that size. But then at safety, you got to really absorb the mental side of the game and the discipline side of the game. And he just hasn't really shown a willingness to do that.
Dude, his agency, the day of the trade to Kansas City, at Lonnie 30 Johnson is headed to KC. Chiefs Kingdom just got a dog with a lock emoji and a stock down emoji. So lock down. Yeah, just got a dog locked down.
Pictograms now.
Yeah,
I don't like the emoji language. When people start writing an emoji, it gets sued. I'm like, I think I'm clinically stupid when it comes to that. I overthink it. I would have thought that was some kind of reference to the pyramids or something. So we're not going to get. We're either going to get not any more Life of Lotto, or we'll get extra Life of Lotto if he has time on his hands. So his smash hit YouTube series that to some people's delight and at least one other guy's consternation, Sean and I used to do reviews of Life of Lotto. And there was one guy that was just furious with us that we were doing it. We kept doing it just because that one guy got so angry about it.
Yes.
And we wanted to aggravate him.
Probably not to program a station, but it was fun.
And it got to be less and less about Lonnie himself and more just me being angry at whoever the guy was he'd hired to be his cameraman.
Yep.
Because it was so bad.
Yeah. Lotto TV. I'm clicking on it right now to see if there have been any new episodes. Nope. A trailer and 4 episodes still. So
I can't criticize him for lack of productivity. I've got a podcast that puts one out about once every 9 months.
So, Life of Pano.
I'm not. Yeah. No, it's the Deceptively Fast podcast. We do an episode whenever I get around to feeling like it, and my friend Drew Hodgson harasses me enough into doing it.
I love that.
One drops today. He harassed the hell out of me.
Okay.
Last week.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's a tease right there. Seth, you evidently in your live read for Balcones, you refer to the state that we live in right now as the great state of Florida.
Yes.
I blame Dust. Dusty hijacked your not only did he lose a game last night, the sleep deprivation that loss caused hijacked your Balcones live read.
This one's got me rattled because usually I can at least figure out where I made the mistake. A lot of times, like with this Hanson kid, this linebacker for the Texans, I'm nervous because I played with a guy named John Hanson who wore number 49 as well.
Mm.
So I'm sure I'm going to say that at some point. The Florida, saying Florida instead of Texas, I can't figure that one out. I don't think I've been to the state of Florida in like 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly where that came from. I apologize to Balcones. I'll make it up to them later in the live read.
They're practically getting another live read right now, so you're making it up to them as we speak.
Sean, it's the Balcones Lineage Texas Single Malt. You would think when I called it the Balcones Lineage Texas Single Malt that I would have maybe taken the cue that it's that they distill it here in Texas.
Right.
But no, I did not.
There's
did
nothing
not.
We like more here in the great state of Wyoming than a good Texas distilled whiskey.
I might have even mentioned that they're in Waco during that.
In the great state of Florida.
There it was right there.
Oh, geez.
Looked at the replay.
This volatile weather that we have here in the great state of Florida.
that happened 11 minutes ago.
What the hell? Sean, I can remember I was thinking, like, I had the map in my mind and I was thinking about Waco because they're in Waco.
Which everybody confuses with Florida all the time.
I'm going to blame.
That's why my son went to Baylor for all the beaches in Waco.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was very shocked. He was distraught when he showed up at Baylor.
He was.
And he thought that it was some state school in Florida that was full of bikini-clad co-eds.
Here's the beach. It's the Brazos River. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's funny.
He shows up at Baylor and they're wearing their wool stockings and bonnets and whatever else they wear at Baylor there.
Hey, Seth, here's one for you. Text message 281217. So if Montero gets out of the inning, are we still having this conversation?
If your dad had worn a condom, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'll tell you that much. Jeez. Probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
Life is about what ifs.
I think we probably still might have the conversation, even because there are categories of things that are the wrong decision, but they still work out. In football, it happens on fourth down a lot, or decisions that go for it, where you might say afterwards, you know what, it worked out, but I still think that was the wrong decision.
Sure.
I still think you should have done this, you should have done that, if you're being honest with yourself. So, and I think, Sean, you especially are very good about that. I think you've always said, hey, you know, credit to him for doing it. It worked out, but I didn't like the decision.
Yeah.
I think you would have still said this. Would we have talked about it? Maybe not, because the Astros probably would have won the game.
Right.
So, yeah. Is this one of these guys that wants us to talk about nothing but sunshine and roses and the great state of Florida all day long? Not bloody likely, okay? I'm Seth Payne from Manchester, England.
Payne and Pendergast with you.
Hey, real quick, since we're on the topic of England. Just real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you're on the gram at all, if you've been on Instagram lately, you see this. There's a little cut up of there's a Tom Hardy scene where some guy is dancing and then points at Tom Hardy, the actor. And then all of a sudden they'll cut to Jonah Hill dancing in the wedding scene from Wolf of Wall Street. It's a real catchy little montage, and people mix other things in. And I couldn't figure out, like, what's this Tom Hardy thing? And somebody told me it's from the movie Legend, where Tom Hardy actually plays the guy who's pointing at Tom Hardy, and the other character. Tom Hardy plays two characters. He plays identical twin brothers.
In this
chopper? One's got a messed up nose. Yeah. So, anyway, the name of the movie is Legend, about the legendary Cray brothers, these two mobsters from London back in the 1950s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the worst gangster movie ever made. And it's partly because, like, Tom Hardy is brilliant playing two different characters in this movie, but it can't salvage the rest of the movie. Just an atrocious movie. But I wanted to watch the movie just so I could get to the part where the dancing is, so I can see, because I've enjoyed these little montages so much. Last freaking scene in the movie. That's what it is. It's the last damn scene in the movie. I hate watching this thing over the course of 4 days just so I could get to that last scene.
That's brutal.
The other thing, too, is that then I end up speaking in what I think is a British accent.
Oh, you need to unveil that. Yeah.
It's a Tom Hardy British accent. Brandy doesn't approve at all.
There's a shock.
Yeah, you bloody wank. Yeah.
Boy.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Back to baseball.
We got to tell people to download the Odyssey app to hear all your favorite shows live. Now the ability to rewind, catch anything you missed, including the Hey Maine podcast. That's Kenny Maine's podcast, where he has a different...
Hi, mine!
Different...
Hi!
Different guest each week.
And I got a podcast, isn't that... Ah!
Fascinated by a lot of things, including Seth's accent. Download Hey Maine on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah. Up next, Peter King was at Texans camp, and he had some interesting observations. I'm not quite sure that Peter King is... I'm not quite sure he's dialed into the buzz around Texans training camp right now. We'll give you a couple examples of that.
He doesn't get us. He thinks he's got the finger on the pulse of Houston, Florida, and he's got it. But he's like, he's actually got his finger on somebody's knee joint.
You got that right, Wanka. Yep.
That's right.
Okay. Picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Our friend Jackie Goss just tweeted at us, Seth. Seth just told a story in the previous segment about how he sat through an entire horrific movie just because there was some meme out there with a scene in it, a Tom Hardy movie. What was it called, Seth? A horrible mob movie.
Legend.
Legend, yeah.
Legend.
And so you just wanted to see the actual scene in the movie where this meme had come from, and it turns out it was the last scene in a really crappy movie, so you wasted 2 hours of your life waiting for it. Jackie says, Seth sitting through Titanic because he saw a gif of the old lady throwing the diamond into the ocean.
It was, yeah. Like, I watched Citizen Kane just to find out what all this rosebud hubbub was all about.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Did here, let me pull it up on my phone. Let me see.
I got it right here. Yeah, he sent it to me.
See, like, look, it's Tom Hardy. I didn't even know it was Tom Hardy. He's, like, wearing a suit. Like in an old time looking 1960s suit,
yeah.
Pointing. So it's this guy. He's like a funny looking chubby guy pointing at Tom Hardy, and it turns out both these characters are played by Tom Hardy. And then at the very end of this little thing they do on Instagram, not on this one, Sean, but on a different one, they show Jonah Hill like dancing through the crowd.
Oh, really?
But it's to this techno beat. It's this mashup. And then Instagram is such a more fun place than Twitter. Oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you how much more just positive and happy it is, and yet I keep coming back to my damn slut bitch goddess Twitter because I can't quit her.
Right,
I hate you
right,
so much,
right,
but I love you. Don't leave me.
Ben,
ever.
Don't dump that. Don't. Yeah. He's allowed to say that. I wouldn't advise saying it too much because the kids are back in school, but he's allowed to say it, Ben. He's allowed
sorry,
to say
kids.
It. Yeah.
Sorry.
Boy, they're going to be saying things at the first day of school, boy. I tell you. All right.
Wait until they start watching Tom Hardy movies.
Exactly. Exactly.
They'll get they'll get sent back a grade.
That's right.
Like
that's
the
right.
Teacher's like, he was advancing well in English, and now I don't know what language he's speaking. This some what is Tom Hardy anyway? He's not British. It's not English he's speaking.
All right. So Peter King, in his Football Morning in America column every Monday, it's a lengthy column. Each week, but he's got a lot of good nuggets in there. He was at Texans camp this past week. I didn't realize that. He was at the legendary victory over the Saints on Saturday night.
Yeah, McLean told us that in the pregame.
That's right.
He'd
he did.
Talking to Peter King.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I knew we were going to get something on Football Morning in America.
Right.
So I was excited because a lot of times people talk to Peter King. They say things to him because he's been around so long that they feel like they're talking to their priest and they can tell him anything.
Okay, well, here's what he was told. Here are five things. Some of these are observations. Okay. Some of them are, I guess, there's a little bit sizzly.
One of these is a little disturbing because I'm worried that Peter King might know more than he either knows more than we do or he's got a bad source.
Yep.
So just keep your ears perked, everybody.
So here the first couple are just sort of observations about the team. One, he points out that the Texans won the game against the Saints, but when the first team was in, it wasn't pretty. Marlon Mack got leveled for a 2-yard loss. Then Chris Conley got stopped for a loss of one. Then a short sideline game. The offensive line is still a question, even after the investments in Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard at tackle. Okay, so we saw that. Nothing to dig into there. Next nugget.
I will say a little bit there. I didn't quite understand his line of reasoning where he was saying that he's saying the offensive line was still an issue, and yet the offensive starters didn't really play that. Titus Howard played for a little bit, but it wasn't the full breadth of starters that were the issue. But I share his concern for the Texans' offensive line.
Sure.
He and I both stay up late at night thinking about
You're simpatico on that. I got it.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith's – this is the next nugget. Lovie Smith's got 2 years for his patient teaching approach to work. Houston's not going to repeat the one-year run of David Culley last year. Here's the thing. This is the thing you're referring to, Seth. There's still a buzz of Josh McCown coaching here at some point, hanging over the franchise. But for now, Smith is GM Nick Caserio's kind of coach with a team that has a long way to go. Do you feel like the buzz of Josh McCown is hanging over this franchise right now?
No, I don't. Partly because, look, Josh McCown was first brought to this organization when Jack Easterby was the interim GM. And we don't bring up Jack Easterby a lot on this show anymore because – and we frankly never did as much as some people believe we did. But he's been relegated to his cubbyhole of things that he's good at. And I don't think that he has that same sphere of influence. Maybe I'm naive about it. Maybe people in the organization are just worried that somehow Josh McCown, a man who is, as far as I know, still is not professionally coaching college or the NFL, that somehow he's going to come back and be the head coach. I'd be very, very shocked if that were to happen at this point.
I would too. But Peter King says that apparently he felt some palpable buzz of Josh McCown while he was here for 24 hours.
Yes, wait, where am I?
Buzz?
Who is this
that
guy?
Sounds like that sounds like multiple people are talking about that. And I talked to enough people in the Texans organization that I feel like I would have picked up on a buzz.
I think so too. He says this. Best young offensive skill player on the roster, wideout Nico Collins, the big second-year target from Michigan. If he's healthy for 17 games, Collins, 6'4 and physical, could become Davis Mills' favorite target with an outside chance at a 1,000-yard season. Collins had a very good camp. That I agree with.
Yeah.
I agree with that take.
Yeah, we talked to John Harris in the pregame as well, and John bristled a little bit when I mentioned that, people might be concerned with Nico Collins pushing off too much. And I understand why John bristled, I guess, because he doesn't share the same opinion. I understand, though, too. I think that Nico is a big physical guy, and if he's going to be using arm bars and use his hands effectively, he does have to be very, he has to be very sly with it and very good with it. I think so far he's shown evidence that, that he can be. It's just, John did point out that a couple of the, when all these videos show up from one-on-ones before practice, it's a very small sliver of everything that a guy does in a practice, but it kind of weighs heavily in people's minds. And there was one that I and a bunch of other people tweeted out from the other day when Derek Stingley and Nico were going against each other, where it looked from one angle like he pushed off pretty egregiously, and John saying no, even on that rep it wasn't that bad, but people are blowing up a few of the little isolated incidents more than they should.
I agree. I think Nico Collins does have a chance to be a 1,000-yard receiver this season, in part because it's not as hard to get to 1,000 yards anymore.
Not if they keep running draws on 2nd and 17. I'll tell you that much.
That's
Sean.
What sets okay. up 3rd and 13, where you look for who? Nico freaking Collins, baby. Yeah.
Who'd they throw it to on third? Was that a running back that they threw to?
I think he threw it to Conley. That Conley out route that Peter King was referring to before.
That's right, it was Conley. That's right.
All right, so that's
pushing the ball downfield.
That's it.
One 5-yard pass on 3rd and 17 at a time.
Next Peter King take. Hard not to dream about the future with Houston having its own and Cleveland's first round picks in 2023. The Texans have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds next year. Everyone, including Mills, knows the Texans will be scouting Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud and Alabama's Bryce Young hard this fall. I saw another mock draft for next year yesterday. The Texans still have not been able to shake among the national media the perception that they will be picking first and will select C.J. Stroud. I threw another log onto the C.J. Stroud pile of 2023 mock drafts yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
Pro Football Network had a 2-round 2023 mock draft. Texans with the first pick take C.J. Stroud, Ohio State.
You're part of the buzz now. You're the buzz that will be mentioned. There's growing buzz
circles. I hear Josh McCown is going to be coaching him, too.
Did C.J. Stroud ever attend a conference, a Bible conference that Josh McCown was speaking at?
We should
at
check.
Anything?
We should Google that and see if he did. Yeah.
He spoke with Lovie Smith. This quote, I didn't quite figure out. Tell me what I'm missing here, because I've missed a few things this morning. Like calling the state of
like
Texas.
The state we
Florida.
Live in. Yeah.
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 Let's see. Coach Smith on his style with a young and impressionable team. Quote, I don't think you can coach on fear. Okay, I agree with that.
Yep.
So he says, I don't think you can coach on fear. I don't know a teacher at any level who yells and dog cusses his student. I don't know about that. I feel like Lovie had a lucky and fortuitous run of teachers in his life, where he never had one that yelled or dog cussed. Do you think he meant like he doesn't know an effective teacher at any level?
I think maybe. Well, it depends. If we're counting coaches as teachers, then he flat out. I don't think that's true.
I think he's talking about classroom teachers. Classroom teachers
yeah.
that don't yell and dog cuss. I had a couple, man.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah, you went to Catholic school, right? Yeah.
Just in college, I went to public school growing up.
That's right. Did they hit you with rulers at Catholic College?
No, but you know what happened one time? There was a priest named Father Murphy who taught geology.
I don't like him.
And yeah, he was really drunk all the time. And so, in that particular class, he would hand us a slip of paper right before finals that told us what our grade was going into the final.
Yeah.
He would hand them to each of us. There's like, say, 40 people in the class. He'd hand them to each of us, and it would say, your grade right now is an A-. If you get an A on the final, your grade would be blah, blah, blah. And if you couldn't change your grade, if you couldn't elevate your grade with an A on the final, you didn't have to take the final. It was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool. So I had a buddy, my best friend from both high school and college. He got handed the slip of paper. And he had an A minus. He would have needed like a 99 on the final to get an
A. It's impossible in Father Murphy's class.
Well, he would have needed a 99. It was mathematically possible for him to get an A, but he would have rather just taken the A minus and just not take the final and sleep in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he says, he raises his hand and he says, Father Murphy, it says here I have to get, if I get a 99, I can elevate my grade to an A. Do I have the option? Can I just not take it and take my A minus? And Father Murphy walks over to John's desk And he says, oh, you don't want to take the final? Oh, okay. And he grabs the piece of paper, crumples it up, and sticks it in John's mouth.
Oh, my God.
He goes, wow. You don't want to take the final? You just take this, and we'll just stick this right in here, and you don't take the final. Oh,
now,
okay.
Wait, was he doing that? Was he doing it, like, playfully or
no,
aggressively?
No, he was doing it aggressively. Okay. He grabbed the piece of paper, crumpled it up, and jammed it in John's mouth like Ted DiBiase sticking a $100 bill into a wrestler's mouth after he put a sleeper hold on him. Yeah.
That happens these days, and he would have. Well, they don't fire people, right? They would have moved him to a different place where people.
John's a high-powered attorney in Chicago now. He would have sued for millions. Would have been great.
And the church would have moved him to a precinct where people complain less.
Yes.
Right? Is it a precinct? What do they call it?
I don't know.
Is it a district?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do they do in the
jurisdiction?
Church?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I have no idea. So he was
drunk all the time. And was that? Did you ever? Did he do stuff like that regularly?
He was very strange. He didn't do physical things, like aggressive things like that, but he was funny to be in. He was funny to have as your teacher because it was geology. So he would be like, so rhyolite and diorite are very, very fine and shale and sandstone. Like you couldn't focus on what he was saying because he was slurring his words all the time.
It sounds like he was a bridge troll.
Yeah.
I'd be drunk all the time if I were a priest. I can't blame him.
Oh, yeah, dude. Especially in South Bend, Indiana. Are you kidding me? Everybody's drunk there to begin with, and then to be a priest up in South Bend, Indiana.
I used to have this weird, irrational fear when I was a kid that I was going to grow up to be a priest. I don't know how. I wasn't Catholic, I had some weird thing like that. Somehow I was going to end up an orphan in a monastery or something, and then I was going to become a priest. And this was right around the time where I was really starting to take an interest in girls, I think. And I was I had this fear of needed to be sure that my mom was driving safely at all times. Didn't want to end up an orphan,
you know,
because I love her, but also because of the priest thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Lamont says, "Why does drunk Father Murphy sound like Lou Holtz?" He did sound a little like Lou Holtz. I guess that's how everybody sounded up in South Bend at that time. Last quote here on the Peter King thing, the confidence in Mills. Did you see Davis Mills tell Peter King that the Texans are ready to go shock the world?
He said, we're ready to go out and shock the world.
Yeah.
Is what he said.
Yeah.
I admire the gusto. What
would shocking the world constitute for the Texans? Like, what's the minimum performance by the Texans that would shock the world?
For one, I have a standing objection to the term shocking the world for any American sport.
It's, noted.
Generally, you could go 17-0 and win every game in the playoffs by 40 points. The vast majority of the world will be none the wiser for
Counselor
it.
Counselor Payne, your protest has been noted.
Yes, okay,
that said, what
you.
Would be the minimum?
We get that out of the way.
Yes.
We'll just play that whenever we go.
That's right.
Shocking the world, I think, would maybe be an AFC championship appearance.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
if they make the playoffs, it's a nice story, but we've seen a bunch of bad teams turn it around quickly and make the playoffs.
You don't think making the playoffs would be shocking the world? This is a team that's viewed as picking first in the draft by everybody.
Sean, this ain't moving the needle in Lisbon, Portugal. Okay.
I love that.
All right. Portugal doesn't wake up until the championship.
I love that you are taking the world part of this literally.
Does this move the needle in Lisbon?
That's
what I always
You know
like
what?
To think.
I'm here for it. I admire it. All right. So Peter King, his observations from Texans camp. All right. Heading into the 7 o'clock hour here. Hey, if you want to join us for a preseason party in the Sports Radio 610 suite, second biggest suite at NRG Stadium.
What?
Behind the owner's suite.
It's
monstrous. It's monstrous.
I get lost in there.
True story.
Biannually.
Yeah.
And we're due.
And Seth's like, am I in Florida right now? Where the hell am I? Next Thursday night, it's the Texans preseason finale against the Niners. Keep listening. You'll get a chance to win in the next hour, about an hour from now, sometime between 7:45 and 8 o'clock. You'll get a pair of tickets to come hang out with us and the whole 610 crew for some food and some football. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make a note of that. About an hour from now, be listening. Up next, the MLB postseason schedule is out. And some interesting things in here because the playoff format is new. why the Astros getting that 1 or 2 seed is super, super critical. We will tell you that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.